Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
We're going to continue today talking about living in the tension that we have in life and how we do that with all that's going on for all of us and different places everywhere, whether at home or whether at work or just wherever. There's so much that happens in our lives, and we have so many interactions each and every day. And how do we live that? And when we live in those interactions, how many of y'all know that there are people out there that overreact to interactions? How many of you are overreactors? I know some of you, and you're not raising your hand, and you're a liar, okay? So I'm an overreactor sometimes, and some of those are not so bad, and some of them are really bad, but as we overreact, we are living in the tension of life and of the world. So what we should do instead of react is how we should respond. And so we're going to talk about that today a little bit. And as we get into that, I want to remind you, could you put the slide up about the meeting tonight at 6 o'clock? It's in there somewhere, I hope. And so tonight, even if there's not one, I'm going to tell everybody. At 6 o'clock tonight, here at the Southwest, we're going to have a meeting about the future of our church. I know you've heard, if you've watched the news or just listened to us talk, maybe you've been in a leadership meeting or a Bible study, Sunday school, small group, anywhere and everywhere. I don't know that you all know this, and I don't advertise it because it's not that big of a deal to me individually as a pastor, but we are part of the United Methodist Church worldwide, even though I just say that we are a congregation of Christians. Amen? I didn't become a Christian to be United Methodist. I just happened to fall into the United Methodist Church because this is where God called Robin and I when we got married, and we started going to St. Luke's. Just as a part of our life, and then I ended up being a pastor here. Y'all can argue with that, good or bad, later. Don't do it now, please. But in the United Methodist Church, we're going through a huge transition. The church is going through what I say is a split. That's what the world calls it. And so we are having to make choices of what we are going to do. It doesn't, let me just say this, 100%, and we can talk about it tonight. You can make appointments with me. We can talk. It doesn't change anything about us of what we, how we live and how we act and how we proceed as the body of Christ in our little world right here. It does matter who we are connected to in the grand scheme of things because it will have ramifications going forward whether we stay or whether we go, okay? And so tonight, 6 o'clock, now some of you right now, and I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you my pastoral speech. I don't do that very often. Is if you're probably under the age of, I don't know, 40, maybe 45, but certainly if you're under the age of 40, you're hearing this and you go, I really don't care because we're going to come to church here. We like what the church does. You know, we love Ashley, our children's pastor. The worship is really good. The preaching is hit and miss, but we live with it because we really like the children, you know, whatever it might be. And so it does matter. I don't ask y'all to do very much very often. 6 o'clock tonight, though, is super important. And so if you can possibly make it, put dinner in the oven or tell your friends you'll be back, your family's in town, it's a great excuse not to be with them and you can come to church. That was funny. Come on now. That was the best one out of all of them. Right? I mean, you just have an opportunity to come and hear what's going on. Because on August the 3rd, we are going to literally officially vote whether we stay in the United Methodist Church or whether we leave the United Methodist Church, okay? We're not deciding what we're doing or where we're going or who we're going to be affiliated with or whether we're going to be independent or whatever. That's not right now. August the 3rd just decides whether we stay or go, and there's a whole lot of reasons for doing that. And so I encourage you to be there tonight and then on August the 3rd. My final thing, this is why I don't like talking about all this stuff because it just takes away from Jesus, is if you are not an official member, and y'all are going, what does that mean? If you have never talked to me about becoming an official, I mean, an official member of this congregation, you've been coming for years, but you don't know if you've ever taken the membership vows to uphold the church by your presence, your prayers, your gifts, your service, that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you put your whole trust and grace in Him, and that you'll follow Him all the days of your life. There's a cut. I mean, if you've never done that, you don't get to vote. That's not my rule. That's not Andy's rule. That's not this church's rule. That is the United Methodist law, okay? And there's a giant book about this big that tells us how we do these things. And so if you're not a member, you need to come see me, and we need to talk, okay? And so that's all I'm going to say about that. If you have questions, I rode my bike to church this morning, and so if you have questions, you're going to have to be able to catch me on the way out the door. No, I'm kidding. I will wait, and you can come talk to me because I really want to clear that up for you. Now let's get back to Jesus. Hallelujah. Responses really do speak louder than words. And if you want the notes today, they're really complete, and they're fantastic things for you to really chew on throughout the week. You can text and you can get those. I'll give you a QR code you can scan in just a minute. But responses really do speak louder than words, because sometimes, no matter what we say, it really does depend on how we respond. Okay? I mean, you can, how many of you have dogs? Okay, how many of you have dogs? I mean, you can look at a dog and they can be coming up towards you, and you can say the worst, most horrible things to that dog that you could ever even possibly imagine. I mean, the foulest of words, the meanest of means. You could talk about killing that dog, but as long as you say it like this and you look at him and you go, "Oh, come here, I'm going to kill you right now. I'm going to break both of your legs. You're the worst, most despicable dog. Oh, I can't wait for you to go away." Tail's going to be wagging, and they're going to be coming towards you, right? But the other way, if you go, "You are the best dog on the face of the planet," they're going to be like this, right? Responses, reactions matter, and they really matter more than the words we speak. Okay, now, and I know you might be thinking, how is this going to work, and why are we going to talk about this today? Because Jesus even says how you respond matters. How you react really does matter, because what I want to say is that responses really do speak louder than the words, okay? Because we want to have a response versus a reaction. Because the reaction, we talked about this last week, it's fast, it's quick, it's knee-jerk, it's you don't really think through it. Sometimes it's a fight or flight response, right? But a reaction, but really, a response takes time. A response is thought out and thought through before we speak. Your final chance right here to grab the notes is you can take your phone and scan that QR code, and it'll take you right to it. So Jesus says that we really need to respond. Jesus, in all of his ministry, never reacted. Even when he was upset, even when he was kicking over the tables in the temple, when he was so upset at the religious leaders, when he was really getting on to whoever, he never just reacted. There was always a response in there. So his ideas and how he did it was always never a reaction, but always a response. Now think about your life. I can think of a handful of times, just in my family, where I have reacted. And there was never a positive outcome for that, ever. Okay, there was always either embarrassment or it caused more problems than it did good. Praise God for his grace and his mercy and forgiveness and healing inside of all of us and our families where this takes place. But I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I would have just responded. Okay, and so it really matters, because when we react, I believe this 100%, Satan wants us to react. Jesus wants us to respond, because I can just think of one really specific instance where I really overreacted. I reacted and overreacted, and you can put an exponential sign on the top of the reaction, and whatever it is probably not sufficient, okay? And that almost severed a relationship in my family, okay? And so, anybody with me? Because I really feel guilty right now, like I'm on an island here. Somebody's done it. Hallelujah. Okay. And so we do these things, but it's not right. It's not the way we're supposed to do it, because what we really do is when we react, it ends up like this. Yes? Is anybody like me? Come on now. Is anybody like me? If you come at me with, with a water gun type of scenario, I'm going to come at you with a water cannon type of scenario. Right? I mean, like the you see in China, you know, when they're trying to disperse a crowd and they've got the big water cannons knocking people down and it's shoving them across the concrete. It's so powerful. That's usually me when it's like this. Okay? And I don't know why I do that. It's just, it's in me and I don't like it. But what we should really do, it's the same thing inside of us, but instead of boom reacting, we should take and harness that same power and use it for good. Now, we can argue about nuclear energy. It's just an illustration, okay? Don't get me. It's just an illustration, okay? And so it really is the same thing going on. Boom, or we use it and we allow it to shape and focus us and do good. So I'm going to say some things. I'm going to give you scripture that many of you, probably none of you, have not heard. And if you didn't even know they were scripture, but they were just cool sayings or they were good rules to live by, these are things Jesus said. They really are scriptures. But I want to show you how, instead of a reaction, we get a response out of them. How we live our lives and how we do this in such a way that we are different, right? And so this whole idea, we live in reactions. Instead of causing problems, we should be having a solution. You've heard it said, right? You've all heard it said that there's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You've heard these things. But Jesus said in his way, he said, "But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek," right? Whoever slaps you on your right cheek. I just want to stop right there and explain this to you, is that, now think about this, okay? He's having this, let me make sure we get to the other side. Turn the other to him also, you know, show him your left cheek. Now think about this for just a minute. If you think about this idea of, why would Jesus specifically say your right cheek? Why wouldn't he just say, you know, we say, okay, you ought to just turn the other cheek, right? Now, that's not what Jesus said. He said, if someone slaps you on your right cheek, so if I don't know, who am I? I really do need to pick on somebody today. Are there any kids left in here so I don't call anybody up? Oh, Micah's here. Come here, Micah. You just got voluntold. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. By the way, I meant to say this. Come on up. I know that Levi said thanks to Micah and Brian, but let me just tell you, for Levi, Gus in the drum section, and Dana back here on the bass, and Courtney up here, so thankful for them. They do so much work that y'all don't even know about, and so I know you got lots of thanks today. Thanks to all the rest of them. You don't have to clap for them. I just really want to give them thanks for that. So if you're going to slap me on the right cheek, remember what I used to do for a living, so don't slap me or it's not going to be pretty up here. And yeah, exactly. It will be the nuclear overreaction thing. So if you slap me, though, on my right cheek, most of us are you right-handed or left-handed? God, see, I knew this wasn't going to go well. Thanks, Margaret. I knew this wasn't going to go well. Okay, so you're right-handed today. If you're going to slap, because most of, are you really left-handed?
Sure.
God is always so funny. I love God. Always. How many of you are left-handed in the room? See, that's the way this is supposed to go. There's three of you, four of you, and I pick the guy that's left-handed. Okay, most of us are right-handed. Okay. I have a little saying for you, by the way. I'm left-handed, but I'm most always right. Is that not? Yeah, exactly. So you could do that. If you're going to slap me, though, like the normal people in the room, not the lefties, what hand are you going to use? Your right hand. Okay, so if you're going to slap me on the left cheek, what are you going to use? Yeah, exactly. How in the world, if you're going to slap me, if you're right-handed on the right cheek, how's that going to go? Backhanded. You can sit down now. So it's Jesus is not really talking about physical. Okay, he is a little bit, because I'll get to it. But he's really not talking about physical violence here. Okay, he's not. This is not about self-defense. So many people will misuse this and misconstrue this and say, "Oh, you should never defend yourself because Jesus says," you know. And I'm like, no, he's not saying that. Okay, he's not saying that at all. Okay, what he's saying is when someone if you're right-handed and you're going to slap somebody on the right cheek, you're going to backhand them. And you know what that means for so many cultures and so many ideas of how we communicate. A backhanded comment is what? It's an insult. And so if someone's going to slap you on your right cheek, he's talking about, you know, challenging you, insulting you, offending you, not pounding you. And so what does Jesus say? He says, then turn to the other cheek. Give them your left cheek. Instead of what the world does when we get insulted and we explode, right? When we get insulted, we do this on Facebook or Twitter or social media or Instagram. We kill somebody verbally. We assault them. We pound them. What he's doing is saying, no, don't explode on them. Give them a response that's different. Give them a response that people aren't expecting. And he goes on. He says this. He said, whoever forces you to go a mile, go with him too. Why? What is this? Well, everybody knew what Jesus was talking about on the slap and on this one right here. Because for the day, the culture, if you were a public official, right? If you were a mayor or a governor or a chief of police or whatever you could come up with, a high public official, if you were a leader in the church, right? If you were one of the Pharisees or Sadducees, right? If you were someone, if you were the pastor of a church, or if you were one of the soldiers, one of the Roman soldiers, you could compel somebody to work for you for a finite amount of time. 1 mile. Usually it meant carrying something. So if they were going somewhere and they needed something carried, they could just tell you to drop what you were doing, pick up whatever they were carrying, and take it a mile. And now, listen to me, this has made everybody mad when they started talking about it, when Jesus even mentioned this, because they hated the public officials, they didn't like the religious leaders, and they certainly didn't like the army that occupied their lives, their town, their cities. And so, for just to even bring it up, they were mad. And what does Jesus say? He says, go 2 miles. Don't just go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Really, in the Greek, it's about 1,000 steps. And so, go 1,000 more steps. And so, when you get to the end of the mile, and they go, okay, you can put that down. Say, no, that's okay. I'll carry it another mile for you. Oh, they were so mad at this. They didn't understand. Jesus, nobody is going to act this way. How many of you have pickups? Hey, can you help me move this weekend? Sure, I'll help you move. Matter of fact, I won't even just help you move. Why don't you go out of town and I'll just pack everything up and I'll just move it all for you. That's what this means. Go the extra. Go another mile. But then he goes on even more. And he says, give to him who asks of you. And do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. So now he's talking to the haves and to the have-nots. He's talking to the rich about the poor. So he's saying, they shouldn't even have to ask you. When you see somebody in need, you should step up and you should give. When you can, when you have the ability, that you should do whatever you can to help them. And if they ask you for help, you should do more. You should do more than even what they ask. Jesus is saying, it's not about the reaction, it's about your response, because the response matters. And this is where really Jesus is about to separate the people. This is where he's going to separate, I'm going to say in a minute, the Christians from the semi-Christians. You have heard that it was said to you, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Let's all sign up for that. Amen? I can do that easy. I mean, that just makes good common sense, doesn't it? Somebody that doesn't like me, well, I'm not going to like them, and I'm certainly not going to make them think that I like them, because currently I don't like them because of the way they're treating me, and so I don't want them to start liking me because I don't want them to be around. Did you follow that nonsense? But that's the way we live. That's the way we think. That only makes sense. But what does Jesus say? But I say to you, love your enemies. Oh, what? Jesus, nobody does this. Nobody lives this way. Why in the world am I going to love my enemies? Why am I going to show someone any kind of Why am I going to give anybody any credit that doesn't give me credit? Why am I going to care for somebody that doesn't care for me? Why am I going to go to the extra mile for someone that's making me do anything? I don't want to do that. And yet Jesus says, yes, yes. Not only does he say that, he says, and pray for those who persecute you. Now then, I'm just going to confess for you right now. You don't have to do this. I don't want to give you the guilt and the shame. But I know right now the first thing you just said in your head was, pray for those who persecute me. I don't even pray for the people I like. I mean, I spend time thanking God for dinner, you know, because most of you don't pray at breakfast or lunch. Yeah, I have cameras in your houses. I go with you when you go to eat. See, I mean, how many of you pray for breakfast? There's only two hands in the room. See, I live with y'all. And when I do my prayers at night, I thank God for my family. I thank God for the things that I have. I pray for the things that I need done. I pray for healing. And I pray for Robin and for Macy. And then I go to sleep. Anybody else do that? Yes, we all do that. I don't give my laundry list of things that I need to pray for. Why in the world? And those are the people I like, right? I don't pray for all of you all of the time. Why in the world would I pray for my enemies? Just like you. Jesus knows. And he's sitting there saying, this is how you live. This is how I want you to live as my followers, as followers of Jesus Christ. He's giving us the examples of how not to react, but how to respond. And so how are you responding in life today? Don't have to answer. I already know we're failing the grade, most likely. This is where, really, Jesus, as he gets to this, he's about to separate, like I already said, the believers from the followers. You're like, what's the difference? Well, he's about to separate the hummers and the mooers from the hearers and the doers. You're like, what's a hummer and a mooer? Man, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's good. That's a mooer. That's a hummer. Preacher, that's good. Did you hear what he just said? I hear y'all do that every once in a while. I love it. But then there's the hearers and the doers. Not just the, that was good. Did you hear that? Sitting next to your spouse. He's talking to you. Not just that. It's the, man, we need to change some things in our lives. We really are going to start praying at breakfast tomorrow. You know, whatever it is, not just the hearers and the not just the mooers, but the doers, right? Not just the note takers, but the ones who put the notes into practice. He's about to separate us out. Right now, I'm going to give you an intro for tonight. Right now, in the United Methodist Church in our denomination, the mooers are being separated from the doers. Okay? So you may think, when you think about what does that really mean and how is this going to play out, I'm just going to give you one little piece of what the controversy is, one little piece of the differences in theology are, one little piece of why we are having to go through what we're going through and why I'm going to take up an hour of your time at 6 o'clock tonight. Okay? It's because if I say to you, here's one of the questions that was asked of 40,000 self-identified United Methodists, okay? If I were to ask you, what is the most authoritative source in your personal theology? Your personal theology is, what do you go to when you want to know about the true nature of God? What is it that you, what is your foundation? When you need answers, where do you go? Well, this is what has been done and said. So when you look at this right here, I'll move out of the way a little bit. When you look at this right here, if you think about progressives versus conservatives, when you think about liberals versus traditional, I'm not going to get into moderate and centrist because that takes a long time. But for all of us, we either consider ourselves one or the other, okay, for most of us. And so if you're progressive and liberal, and I ask you what's the most authoritative source in your life, out of 40,000, okay, 40,000 United Methodists, those that responded said this, well, the six right here, the 6% said, we believe in Holy Scripture. We believe that this book tells us everything there is to know about God. This is the truth. This is infallible. This is the way it is, and this is how we live. This is our standard. It doesn't say we don't struggle through it. Matt Wolfington struggles through this. There are things that I wish weren't in here. There are things I wish were different. There are things that I wish that I didn't have to live by because they are hard. But I believe that this is truth because I'm on this other side. I'm on the conservative traditional side where you see 41%. And you're thinking, that's still less than half. Well, wait a minute, there's another part of the question, okay? So 6 versus 41. And now how about Christian tradition, the things that we have learned all of our lives about what this says and what we believe and how we believe it and how we live out our life in Christ. So you add 30 to the 41, and now we're up to 71% for the conservatives. Over here, we're only at 22% plus 6, we're only at 28%. So for 40,000 of us, if you just want to say us, like-minded in this room, you've got 71% say that this is the truth, this is our foundation, and you've only got 28% on the other side that say this is. Now, that's scary enough to me. It may not be to you because you're like, well, okay, whatever. Now then, let's go to your own reasoning. Let's go to your own experiences. You can decide. You can think things out for yourself. You can decide who God is. You can decide how God acts. You can decide all the things about Christ, all on your own. You really don't need this. This is okay, but you really don't need this. How does that work for traditionalists? And how does that work for liberals? How does that work for progressives versus conservatives? Look at the conservative side. If I think about my own rationality, only 17% said they can really decide for themselves. That's still really high for me. And only 12% said that it's based on their personal experience. How many of you have not had a prayer answered? Wow, I'm the only one? Okay, let me ask that. How many of you not had a prayer answered the way you wanted it to be answered? Every one of your hands should show up. And so, if I say, well, God didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted it to, then I'm in the 12% there, my personal experience, then I'm going to say, I'm not going to have much to do with God. 33% of progressives say that. And then you go to the other one about their own reason and rationality. 39% say that I can reason out myself who God is. Two totally different sets of ideas, two totally separate different foundations. And this is just the beginning. This just fit into my teaching today. And this really may offend you. And I hope it does on one side or the other, because this is what Jesus is saying. He goes, don't do it this way. This is the way the world tells you to do everything. This is how you should react. When someone wrongs you, you should get back at them. You know, do unto others as they've done unto you, right? That's what we think. And when we hear that, we think, okay, do unto others before they do it to us, right? That's how we live our lives. But Jesus is saying, no, don't do it that way. He said, I just want you to have a response instead of a reaction. I want you to be able to think through these things and respond to people. And you're like, well, I don't understand. I don't know how this really fits into my life. Is Jesus really telling us that we should live differently than everybody else? Oh, he's about to tell you how differently we need to live. Back to loving your enemy. Back to praying for those who persecute you. Why? I always want to know the why. Not just the what, but I want to know the why. And he says this, so that you may be sons and daughters of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So for us to respond really is going to allow people to see that we're either righteous in Christ or we're unrighteous, maybe in Christ. And why do I say that? Because we may say that we're Christians, but we don't act like we're Christians. I said last week, I think the number one reason people don't want to buy into our theology and how we live our lives in Christ is because they know these things. They know that they should love their neighbor. They know that they should try to help other people. They know they should not only lend them their pickup, but they should pack for them. But they look at us and go, you don't even live like you say you believe. Why would I want to be a part of that? Y'all need to raise your toes because this is hurting right now. This is, and it's true for me too. I'm not throwing rocks. I do this. I know it. But then he goes on to one more. He goes on to one more final comment. And he says, if you greet only, right? If you greet only your brothers and sisters, people that are like you, people that think like you, people that look like you and act like you and run in circles that you run in, then he says, what more are you doing than others? See, he's telling us to do more than everybody else. And some of you are going to say, I can hear it at our house right now, is I'm tired. I can't do anymore. Right? I say it. I just said it yesterday. I said, oh my gosh, my tank is empty, in other words. How can I do more? He's not talking about filling your calendar more. He's talking about respond more. Respond more. He says, then do not even the Gentiles do the same? You can, I just want you to think, I don't know who it is, but you can think of the most, don't say it out loud, the most despicable, the terrible, the deceitful, the worst. Just think of a person or a people group that you just go, oh my gosh, those are the worst. I mean, they're just horrible. I mean, they're just mean and they're rotten and they're, oh my gosh. I mean, whoever you can think of, that's the worst. The reason I didn't let you say out loud because I didn't want you to say pastors. But, I mean, whoever you can think is the worst, most hypocritical, whatever. If you went to one of their meetings, if they have meetings, if you went to one of their meetings, they're greeting one another just like you greet on Sunday morning. They're no different. And if we're, because they're greeting like-minded people. They like the other despicable people, right? How many of you, I just thought of it, you've seen Despicable Me, right? I mean, they have a whole network of bad guys, and they shake hands and love each other. They have meetings. They have a bank. They have all the different things. That's their little world. And so if we don't look different than that, then he goes, you're not any different than they are. And so when we think about all this, how do we respond? How do we respond? Matthew 5:48. Is that up there? Nope, it's not up there. Matthew 5:48 says this, therefore, all this stuff, go the extra mile, right? Give to those in need. Give more than they need, right? Turn the other cheek. Respond. Don't react. How do we do this? Matthew 5:48, therefore, I tell you, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And immediately you said, Matt, we can't be perfect. I'm not perfect. There's no way I can live up to perfection. I can't work any harder. I can't try any harder. I can't read any more scriptures. I can't come to worship anymore. I can't do any more devotionals. I can't volunteer anymore. I can't be a better dad. I can't be a better wife. I can't be a better community leader. I can't be a better employer or employee. I can't be better. I'm doing the best I can, and I will never be perfect. That's not what Jesus is saying, because I can't either. And if you know me, you're going, oh, you're far from perfect. What he's saying is, how about my words now? Therefore, respond as your heavenly Father responds. Now that we can do. That we can do. We can strive to respond differently than the world responds. We can strive to be more like Christ. We're never going to make it. You're never going to attain it 100%. But instead of reacting, right, instead of reacting like the world does, Jesus is saying, it's a terrible analogy at this point. Jesus is saying, channel that into a response. Because when we react and we reflect like Jesus, what we do is we show the world who God is. And you are going to be so surprised at this. You are the perfect example of who God is. If you will respond and not react. If you will respond to other people, here it is. If you will respond to other people like Jesus responds to you, you made it. With grace, with mercy, with love, right? With gentleness, self-control, all of the fruits of the Spirit, right? If you will just respond that way, and you're going to have to think about it, and you're going to have to take it. You might have to take it on the chin. It might be hard, and it might be really difficult for you to be able to do that. You have to live in the tension of that moment and not respond, not break in the tension, but use the power of that tension to motivate yourself and to propel you forward into Christ-likeness. Hear me again. You have to live in the tension. You're going to run into somebody that you don't like or that doesn't like you, and there's going to be conflict and there's going to be tension, but you can either take that tension and wind you up to explode or wind you up to propel you forward to be more like Christ. And it's your choice. It's absolutely your choice, 100%. You know why this teaching is so hard? Because I don't like it. This is so hard for me. And you're like, well, you're a pastor. Yeah, I'm a human being that's a pastor. And when somebody hurts me or hurts my family or offends me or my family, really more of my family than me, right? I mean, I'm not Italian and I'm not in the mafia, but you come after my family, right? Anybody with me? This is the way we are. This is the way we live. But Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He says, respond as I respond. So, in thinking about all of that, what he's calling us to do is to be more than, right? To be more than. He says that in that scripture. He goes, do more than is expected of you. So what God's calling us to do is to be a more than. Be a more than husband. Be a more than wife. Be a more than mom or dad. Be a more than employer or employee. Be a more than neighbor. Be a more than volunteer. Be a more than, you just fill in the blank of wherever you are in whatever situation you are in. You be a more than the other people. The people that don't believe in Jesus, the people that are the true hypocrites. He says, be the more than. So that's us. That's our response. That's our response to all the hurt and the heartache. That's our response to anything, whatever it is that's going to divide the church, not just the United Methodist Church, but the church, then our response needs to be more than. It needs to be more than graceful. It needs to be more than loving. It needs to be more than caring. But here's what I also say, and Jesus says, he goes, but we never sacrifice truth for unity. Now, everybody should have gone, what does that mean? This is where I say we don't go along to get along with the world, okay? We don't go along with the world just to get along with the world. We have to do these things. We have to be the hearers and the doers. And you're going to run into it. Forget the denominational stuff, okay? You're going to run into it at home. You're going to run into it with your kids. You're going to run into it with your coworkers, your spouses. You're going to run into it, right? Your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your parents. You're going to run into it. How are you going to respond? Don't react. Respond. Respond. And if you say right now, I just thought somebody's going to say to me, well, I don't have all that in me, Matt. I don't have that knowledge in me to respond like Christ. This is why I tell you need to pray. This is why I tell you need to read Scripture. This is why I tell you need to be in a group of learning and of like-minded Christians where you can have this stuff in you. So when the time comes, you can respond. Because Scripture says, always be prepared, not with a reaction. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that scripture in my head just now. You don't need to be prepared for a reaction. He says, always be prepared with a response. Wow. Lord, I can't say any more. You need to say it. Lord, I can't bring any more to the table than you have already brought. So, Lord, I just leave it for you to use. or the seeds have been planted. The way has been made. Lord, we need your power now. We need your grace. We need the complete 100% power of the Holy Spirit that is already within us, Lord, to start generating the responses in our lives. Lord, I need them. I need them, and everyone does. So, Lord, you do it. And Lord, when people look at us, they'll go, why are they acting that way? They should be so mad. And we say, because of Jesus. Why are you helping that person? They were so mean to you. Because of Jesus. Why in the world? And we just say, because of Jesus. Because of the name that is above all names. Because of the one who has been and is and will be. The one that was the same yesterday. And he has not changed today, and he will not be changed for tomorrow. For the one that laid the foundations of the world. For the one that created us in his own image. For the one that gives us life. And for the one that gives us eternal life. This is why we respond and don't react. Lord, let it be so for all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, if you want to accept that for yourself, if you want to start a new chapter in your life of how you're living, if you want to turn over a new leaf, as the saying goes, if you just want to be different from this day forward, if you want to take that proclamation, if you want to take that teaching of Jesus, take those instructions for a Christ-like way of living, you'll say amen, amen, and amen. Would you stand and let's close in our last worship song for today. And if you if you want to come forward and pray at the kneeling rails, and you want to be up here and you just want to give more of your life to Christ, or maybe for the first time ever to give your life to Christ, now's the time. Now is the time.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.